How do you measure yourself with other golfers?
By height.
It's a very, very special honor.
I'm Paula Creamer, and you're listening to Golf Talk Live.
Well, we're waiting.
Hi, this is Martin Cove, a.k.a. John Kreese from Cobra Kai, and you're listening to Golf Talk Live.
Welcome to the 19th hole presented by Golf Talk Live. I am Alan DePue, and I am joined by my co-host, Andrew DePue.
How are we doing?
We're good. We're minus somebody. We lost a playing partner.
Yeah, that's what happens when you've been in long-term relationships. They're a little bit more relaxed on Valentine's Day versus he's got a little bit more of the typical Valentine's Day banter to go through. Folks, if you are listening to this, we are recording on Sunday, February 14th, obviously Valentine's Day. Our good co-host, Christian Nizamis, is out on the date night scene with girlfriend, whereas us... What do we even want to call ourselves? Us old guys at this point? I don't even know.
I've got gray hair, so I could definitely say. And anyway, my other half, she's working tonight. So, kudos to Christian. We said we were going to throw him under the bus. We told them we were going to roast him a little bit. And by no means is this meant to be any disrespect to his relationship. But, he could be sitting here having a beverage with us.
I mean, listen, you got to schedule that 5:30 dinner time. That way you're back. You can relax, have a nice beverage, especially if it's a Sunday. I don't know. I got to share with a recipe with you after we get off the scene here.
Let's talk cooking tips.
Yes. Slow cooker chicken Alfredo in the crock pot. If you're looking for an easy to make recipe, folks, I have found it, and wow, we are on to something.
Not only are you practicing your putting, but you are like the next Chef Boyardee.
They basically call me Guy Fieri, but without the spiky hair. So, we're going with something.
Well, you know what? Hey, if the putting stroke does happen to fail, at least you have that to fall back on, right?
It made the woman happy. That's all that matters. So, we are good to go. I mean, but more importantly, we got the 19th hole. We got some drinks here. We're chatting, having a good time as always. And I gotta ask, you're finally back, Mr. Traveling Golfer himself, from your excruciating pain of a week. It sounded like from the texts. What was Mid Pines like? How was Mid Pines?
First of all, let's establish this. I am not the traveling golfer. That is our other co-host, Tony Leodora, and who, by the way, I failed to mention, Tony is on assignment at this time as well, so he couldn't join us either. You're stuck with us two for this show. I'm sorry.
We added a little pizzazz.
We'll ham and egg it, just like Mike Armell and I did in our big match against Quinn and Joe down there at Southern Dunes. But to answer your question, Andrew, it was great. It was great to get out of the cold. I did not miss the 6 to 8 inches of snow that fell in my absence. And I'm fortunate for those people that helped take care of the house. So shout out to them. It was great to have everybody with. Only wish that we could have gotten you guys down there as well. Played Champions Gate, as I mentioned. Played the international course. Chopped it up like a Japanese steakhouse, as they say, and then hopped over to Southern Dunes. But the real cool trip was on the way back. So I drive. I am the Madden version of golf because airplanes and I are not friends. And as I mentioned, and you probably saw on Instagram page, I stopped in Southern Pines, Pinehurst area, got a little Airbnb and slid over to Mid Pines there in Southern Pines. And Donald Ross Design, wow.
Is that the first golf trip we're making then? Because you sounded like you just found heaven on earth. And I thought you were loving Pinehurst when we went down there. So, I mean, you must have seen something miraculous.
Well, I'll tell you what, let me by no means taking anything away from Pinehurst and the Pinehurst family of golf courses, because they are spectacular. As you mentioned, we made our trek down there, I think it was a year and a half ago, with son number two, your brother. We played all the good ones. We played two. We just played four, which was Gil Hans had just reopened after the renovation. We played, what was it, 7 and 8, Andrew? I mean, those were probably four of the nine that are just absolutely amazing down there. Obviously, number two stands on its own. But then I go over here to Mid Pines, also a Ross design. And I got to give a shout out to the staff, Gary, Brett. Brett's the head golf professional down there. It's a Ross design, false front greens, measures about 6,200 from the whites. I'll admit it. I'm not going back to the big tees anymore. Even if I went back to the big tees, it was only 6,700. So it had all the features, the natural sand bunkering. It was just a really good experience.
Now I have to ask, and we have to get this for the listening audience, because if you haven't seen Mid Pines, folks, if you haven't seen their social media and you don't follow them and kind of keep track, you wouldn't know this like I do. Did you use the motorbike that they have down there? Because those things look absolutely treacherous, and I don't know if I could trust myself to balance and drive a golf cart, you know, that's a motorcycle at the same time. So, you know, I have to ask, did you actually get the chance to do that?
I did not drive the motorbike. I did see one of the motorbikes going by me as I was coming around on one of the golf holes there. And, you know, I'm with you. I don't know if I could pull it. Pop's Pub is the little tavern that they have in the clubhouse there. If I'd hit Pop's Pub before I drove that motorbike, might have been a very bad scene.
If you had a transfusion in hand, it was
or three.
There you go. Well, here's the other one we have to ask. We brought it up on the, I think it was even on the third most recent Thursday show. You've dubbed yourself the King of the Cradle. Did you get a chance, said self-appointed King of Cradle, to go over and see the cradle? And if so, how does that look? Because, again, we talk about 2, 4, 7, and 8. Like, those, obviously, there's 9 phenomenal properties at Pinehurst. Obviously, nothing taking away from Mid Pines. But we can all agree. Like, we had the most fun on the cradle every afternoon.
So, I have not yet finished bloviating about how my game was at Mid Pines before we start talking about the cradle. Okay. So grab a cart key, because I want to take you for a quick tour. And, you know, I get right up there. I pipe it right down number one. I'm like, there's nothing to this now.
Now, by piping it, you'd be hitting it 225 dead down the center, because that's about as far as you hit at this point.
I plead the fifth on that one.
Okay.
So it was 230. It was downhill.
got the roll back.
No, actually I did not, because Pinehurst area has gotten a lot of rain, and because it's got nowhere to go, it's not evaporating right now, even with the sandy soil down there. So the fairways, they weren't giving you a lot of roll. It played a long 6,200 from, if I get it, folks, long is not 6,200 nowadays. It is for me anymore. But anyway, that and the fact that I joked with, and again, I'll give a shout out to Gary on the outside staff. I was joking with him. He's played professionally. And I roll in there, Andrew, because I'd obviously just come from Florida. I got shorts on. Shorts in a fleece. And I'm that guy. When I stand behind the counter sometimes at the club and you look out and you see that one guy and you're going, how does that guy have shorts on? As I said to Gary from Mid Pines, I said, I'm sorry, I'm that guy. I'm showing up in 48-degree weather, misty, cool, overcast weather with shorts on. But
I'm the northerner in a southern climate. That's
pretty much, yeah. The line from my cousin Vinny, oh, yeah, you blend, I did not.
Not? Okay. Well, I mean, at least you're willing to admit that. I mean, that's part. The first step is admitting you have the problem. Second step, we won't get into that.
But the long story short is, just to sum it up, I was a smooth 3 over after 2, and I righted the ship, got it up and down on a couple of just crazy up and downs, actually. Made a birdie, settled it down a little bit, and I actually made a few effective golf swings. I mean, I even posed on a few of them, hoping that there was a camera there, but you guys weren't with me, so nobody could take the picture.
Well, I mean, that's why we got to go back, and then we got Tobacco Road on the list. We got a whole bunch of them that we'll be reaching out to a couple of these. I know that Mid Pines was on my list the last time. I know you got fortunate enough to get down there before I did. But we got a couple on the list that we got to hit, and you know,
I do have to tell everybody to you hop over to our Instagram page, because I was able to post a video there. I'll put it out on our Facebook page also, Golf Talk Live on both social media channels. You've got to see this video, and I know I sent it to you guys even before I posted it. The video of the 15th green at Mid Pines. It's a
the one
reachable.
That really looks like it falls off of planet Earth.
It's a reachable point. Yeah. So I got to set the stage. So I'm 14. I hit it down the middle. Yeah, probably about 225. And I'm sitting there looking at a false front green, and this like little postage stamp that falls off the back, falls off the right. I actually hit it. That was one of the ones I made a really good swing. So I'm feeling really good because I lagged it up there, made my par. Get to the next hole, knock it down there, pulled it left, laid it up. I got 100 yards in, and Andrew, I'm standing there looking at this shot. And I swear there is probably 10 to 12 feet of elevation change on this false front green. And you can't, you can see it from the fairway, but you can't appreciate it from the fairway. I fortunately navigated, hit the ball a little bit right, got the kick off the side of the bunker, rolled down there to like 15 feet. Of course, I missed the putt. That's why I need the perfect practice putting mat, apparently. But I took this video, and again, folks, it's on our social media, out on Instagram. And again, I'll post it on Facebook. It's gnarly. I mean, this Donald Ross false front is insane. And it was just that's what I find so cool about his genius is he's got you standing there thinking 14 different ways on how to play shots. I mean, I did the classic, you know, run it up, missed it down to one of the swales, and I'm running it up with it with a fairway hybrid. You know, it's everything. There's 42 different shots. I haven't even shared on social media yet. On the very next hole on 16, I maybe was faced with one of the most craziest shots I've ever seen in all my years playing golf. Somehow I got it on the green and made the putt. I don't know, but it was just a really, really fun time. Would have been more fun to have you guys with me. Yeah, I mean, my shout out to Mid Pines, to the golf course, to again, the professional staff down there. And yeah, great time, man.
I'll tell you what, though, like you mentioned the false front greens and obviously the Donald Ross designs. I remember now, again, not getting to play Mid Pines and see it for myself, but playing another, you know, Donald Ross in number two, the caddies, like you, if you don't have a caddy or somebody that's got course knowledge on some of these tracks that he's designed, you are lost if you don't know how to play it. And it's, I mean, I remember the one time I had a guy tell me to hit it 10 feet left of where I was thinking on a chip shot. And I'm like, what are you like? Why? And I took his advice and we ended up knocking it down to like a foot or 2 feet on a chip shot. And I was like, there's no way that happens, but it's just the way that the green is designed. So, go ahead.
Let me just transition it, because since you're now over at Pinehurst, because I did stop in there, back to your original question. And here's what I found was the difference and why I think it was Mid Pines was just, it didn't feel, I mean, it was tough. I mean, you hit a ball offline, you're going to make a big number. But it did not feel like you were going to get beat up by going over to number two and shooting 10, 15, 20 shots more, you know, because it's that tough of a golf course. And everybody needs to play it. If you haven't played number two, you need to play number two.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bucket list type course. And even if here's the thing. If we were to go back to a Pinehurst or go back down there, Like I full like we played the mid tees, and I'll be honest, like I'm even okay playing moving it up, like we've talked about before, just to enjoy it because it's so tough. Like people don't give credit to these types of courses of how tough that they can be, and not always is distance important because you know you can hit a driving iron or you can hit a long iron off of a tee, but I mean, you got to know how to play these types of tracks if you ever want to score well. So, you know, again, not trying to go nothing but Pinehurst. Obviously, would love to see Mid Pines. Haven't gotten the chance, but, you know.
Well, we're going to. There's the one last picture. Great. Sitting on the patio, literally right outside the golf shop, sipping on a little Irish coffee to warm up, actually, after 3-4 hours out there. And I'm telling you right now, that's where we're going to do a show from there. We are absolutely going to, we're going to call Brett Harless, the head golf professional down there. And we're going to say, hey, Brett, we're coming down and we want to do a show on the patio. Can you make that happen for us?
There we go. Well, there wasn't obviously just your golf news. There was other great golf news.
Well, but I need to answer you. We've gone on
so many tangents. I've lost track of what we were talking about, to be honest.
Well, you asked the question. I stopped at Pinehurst. You have to. If you're in the area, you got to stop at Pinehurst. It was by that afternoon, the storm front had moved in. It was pouring rain. I had intended to maybe play the cradle. The king of the cradle will have to come back to his throne another time.
Okay. Well, you know, it's only perfect timing then that we get to go down there and dethrone you from your self-proclaimed throne. So just
good luck. Yep, good luck.
Now, obviously, you know, you're not the only golf news going on. We have some other big golf news. You actually sent it through on our little group chat. You want to start us our little convo up with?
Well, before we get to another bucket list, which is Pebble Beach, let's talk about some news coming out of the LPGA, which is
that's what I was going with. You just totally missed my. It went right over your head.
What's that?
On the Annika, you sent me the text about Annika.
That's what I was just about to say.
Yeah, but you thought I was talking Pebble. I'm trying to give credit.
Did you not hear what I said? I said before we get to Pebble, another bucket list. Okay. Let's talk about Annika Sorenstam.
Okay, I thought you said thought I was talking Pebble.
I've got the show notes in front of me. I'm not messing this up. Christian's not here. Okay, I gotta keep us on point.
Okay.
All right. And Christian, you know, you could be here right now if you'd like, but if you're anyway, after 13 years away from the LPGA tour, Annika Sorenstam is coming back because the event will be played at Lake Nona. This is going to be great to see. 50 years old out there competing. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's Lake Nona is her home course down in Orlando. And I'm going to tell you right now, she will compete and compete well. I guarantee it.
I mean, the fact that it's her home course, you definitely expect it. I will be very happily surprised if she's in contention, and that's not a knock on her. That's just a belief that these girls that are playing on the LPGA Tour now are so solid. And the game of golf. I mean, these girls are just phenomenal athletes, phenomenal golfers that, you know, again, not trying to take anything away from her because let's face it, when you think LPGA, who do you think of, right? But I mean, I look at it as I'd be very surprised if she's going to be at the top of the leaderboard. I hope she has a good showing. I just think that the top of that leaderboard is just so much further ahead than where she.
Without question, I don't think that's. Maybe she thinks she can win. I don't know where. But the fact of the matter is, she stepped away from the game to begin a family. And as she said in her press conference, my kids wanted to see me compete. And since it's being played right there at Lake Nona, we're talking about the Gainbridge LPGA Championship, which will be played next week on February 25th through the 28th. It's right there at Lake Nona. She's got home course advantage. She said, why not? And you know what? God bless her. I actually hope she's in contention coming. I don't, I don't, I mean, a Cinderella story to see her win, but I just like to see her in contention.
I mean, you talk about just a storyline. I mean, the storylines that we could have on next Monday's show, if that's the case.
I mean, that would be that. Forgive me for saying this for all the Tiger, you know, devotees, but that would be Tiger at Augusta. I mean, for her to come back, the only difference is it's not a major, but for her to come back and after stepping away from the game for 13 years, I mean, that'd be amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. It's something that we will have to wait and see. You know, but it's good news nonetheless. It's always great to have those type so great players.
I would suspect she's probably practicing perfectly. What do you think?
I mean, she's definitely got to make sure she's rolling the rock if she's going to be able to keep up with these girls and these ladies. And there's no other way to do it than our good friends over there at Perfect Practice. Obviously, you guys have heard it on the show plenty of times. Thankfully, Dad, you finally realized that my putting stroke has gotten better. Christian, you're not here, so I can attack you a little bit. You still have yet to realize my effectiveness with my putting stroke using this great training aid that we do have with them. So want to give them a big shout out. Want to make sure that you, the home listening audience, is able to use the Perfect Practice putting mat just like we are and just like I am to get that putting stroke on point ready for the start of the season. And you can only do it by using our code GTL15 for 15% off. Again, that is GTL15 for 15% off today. We got a great, great thing on the way with them that has been officially finalized. So just looking to get, you know, the final touches put together. And then we are going to be going live with some great new stuff with them. So even more exciting news on the way. But again, use our code GTL15. I personally will tell you right now, if you are an average or even above average player, this is the make or break. This is going to get you ready for those tournaments, those club championships, whatever your guys are playing in. So make sure you get a hold of those as soon as possible.
There you go. So question for you. You picked Phil Mickelson.
Okay. I know my pick with Phil, it did not end as well as I thought it would. However, Charlie Hoffman tied seventh. I think that makes up for it. I mean, you know.
Well, that was a great selection, I'm not going to lie, but for the double points,
I know.
Dark horse, he has to win, right? Isn't that our rules?
Yes, that's the rules.
He didn't. So next.
When you look at Phil Mickelson, I don't ever see, and everyone has a bad week of golf. Phil clearly had the worst week he's ever had, if I'm not mistaken, at Pebble. I mean, you can't expect that. I mean, you obviously are thinking that they're playing at the top of their game, and you know, he had a bad week. So it is what it is. But my second pick, although he didn't end up winning, he looked pretty solid. So I'm doing okay. I'm not feeling like I picked Ricky Fowler, who again missed the cut, but you know, we're just gonna leave that there.
Well, my horse, Paul Casey, finished fifth. So that gets me, you know, that's some nice points I pick up in our season long effort. And unfortunately, I hate to say it, but Christian beat both of us.
You know, he did. I mean, he obviously got a great pick. But I'll be honest with you,
I'm glad he's not here, because he'd be, you know, rubbing that in, trying to say that he's like expert, you know, analysis at this point.
Listen, I'll say this. I don't care. This week was something beyond the picks for me, and that's because of a person that actually finished in between. Well, technically he was tied with Christian's pick, but finished in between your two picks on the leaderboard. And that's my man, Jordan Spieth. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but
if I'm
looking back on our conversations, obviously Brooks has won a tournament, right? So you got to kind of take that into effect. But I think Jordan's starting to look very, very solid. And I think something mentally is starting to click. I don't know if that is just the continued working with the new teacher, or if it's just he's finally got it out of his own head. But I'm very excited for the majors, because if Jordan Spieth is there, that's just one more phenomenal champion golfer that we want to see. And no offense, I would love the storyline. I'd love to be proven wrong of him getting it done at Kiowa, winning the PGA, getting their career Grand Slam. That would be amazing. And I don't care about the picks at this point.
I'll tell you what, for being a quote unquote and being blistered in the media about it being a weak field, and it was a weak field this week at Pebble Beach. Offered some great drama and a great finish, in my opinion.
Yeah. Listen, you can complain about the field all you want. You can be an analyst. That's what, you know, unfortunately we as the golf media sometimes get pegged doing. But I'll be honest with you. If I'm looking at something, I have the mindset from a tournament standpoint. Now, maybe this is different for me and for, you know, us, because we've obviously played in these tournaments, not obviously to the PGA Tour level, but we played competitive tournaments, that I don't care who's in the leaderboard. You know, if it's a weak field, strong field, whatever field, I still got to go out there, put the peg in the ground and score a number to beat you. So, right. You know, this whole weak field, you know, obviously it's not got DJ, it's not got Brooks, it's not got, like, it's not got the big names, but I can't control that. If I'm Jordan, I can't control that. If I'm, you know, Patrick Cantlay or better yet, Daniel Berger, phenomenal freaking playing this week. Absolutely right. Phenomenal. And well, I can't control that. So by all means,
before I spun us out of control a little bit, but let's go back to the Jordan thing. I've got like four or five just really cool and just little funny factoids and funny things that came out of Pebble this week before we get to the exceptional play of Daniel Berger, which is Jordan. A couple of comments that I heard, a couple of observations that I made. It didn't. He obviously went right to the top of the leaderboard on Friday, and then he gets to Saturday, and I don't know if green speed apparently changed a little bit, and he did not seem to adjust. He was rolling the rock really well. Did you see that? Is that your opinion also?
I think my biggest takeaway from the last 2 weeks with Jordan is Jordan seems to be coming out very hot and then gets cold very, very quickly. And it always seems like he doesn't – play bad.
Or does he realize where he's at and how close he is to getting to back to his goal?
Is it – but, I mean, these guys are also professionals, no? I mean, like, yeah, obviously there's a mental aspect of like, oh, my goodness, like, I'm getting there. Like maybe there's that push when he should just relax kind of thing. But you know, if you're asking me, I'll be honest with you. I don't see that being the issue. I think he's come out so hot so quickly that it's almost one of those situations where you can't play to that level for four rounds, right? Like you can't expect him to hole out from 130 yards or whatever it was, you know, twice in the same tournament, mind you.
That was a hell of an 8-iron he hit on. I mean, let's be honest. He's not in the lead on Sunday. He's going into Sunday if he doesn't hit an exceptional shot. I mean, let's face it. There's skill involved, but there is some degree of luck when you're holding out from 130 yards out. But it was the way he worked that 8-iron in there on Saturday was impressive.
I mean, he hooked that thing in there.
Oh, yeah. But I do think there's a little bit, but there is that mental hurdle that I think he's close. I really do. I will say this, and I will admit I'm wrong. I think he's a lot closer and a lot faster than obviously we ever just. I said it was going to be 6 months to a year.
I am glad I got proven wrong. My question to you is, and again, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves because it's only been a couple of weeks. He still has yet to technically win. Do you think he's getting back enough to form that he can compete and be at the top of the, I mean, I already said the storyline. Do you think he's able to compete and have a chance to win the career Grand Slam this year, given what you've seen the last 2 weeks?
No,
Not yet. You still think he's
not
off?
Yet. And why I say it's still a little bit of the mental hurdle. There was a scene earlier, and I think it was like back on like hole 6 or 7 early in the round today, you know, knocks in a 7-footer with a little, you know, fist pump involved. So, I mean, he clearly wants it. He knows what it means. I mean, you got people sitting there making comparisons about, well, Tom Brady's won 2 Super Bowls since Jordan last won. Who cares? The guy's working his way back into being an exceptional player. And I respect Nick Faldo, obviously a major champion. His comment that on those couple of tee shots here in the fourth round where he flared them right, that his weight, the observation was that his weight was a little bit too much back on his heels. Those are swing related issues that will continue to work themselves out. That's why I'm saying the swing portion is probably a good 6 months. The mental portion is where he's going to have to overcome the hurdle. And I think he'll get there.
I think nobody's swing is perfect 100% of the time. So yes, Nick, your comment, I did see that where Nick is bringing up the swing issue. I don't see that as much of an issue as, you know, people make a bad swing. It's how he recovered from that, right? Like,
oh, and he did.
So I look at that as that's commentary to make commentary if you're asking me. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but again, that's how I view it. I think the bigger, if we're going to talk swing issues though, let's be honest, that was not even close to the biggest swing issue. The biggest swing issue was coming out of Francesco Molinari and the top ball off the tee that made it look like something I was doing in, you know, a Saturday morning, you know, skins match or something in the local club. Like that was bad.
Measured tee shot off of number one, folks. If you haven't seen it, we post this on our social. But Francesco Molinari, his tee shot measured 70 yards off of number one on Saturday.
It's not very often that you see a tee shot in the PGA Tour that the shot tracker doesn't leave the ground. it, you know, obviously there's conditions and you know what have you, but. That's where I go back to. I don't think for Jordan at this point that's like this judgment like of his swing is as big of a deal as the mental side of things, because you got guys doing that. Like if he's shifting his weight or this, like let him figure it out on his own. Don't overanalyze something that's, you know, one bad swing kind of thing. So, like I said. It is what it is. I think the biggest story other than that is obviously the Joel Damon and Sung Kang.
Yeah. You notice how we didn't hear anything really about that today. And what we're referring to, folks, not to cut you off, Andrew, but what we're referring to is Joel Damon and Sung Kang had they had a very heated debate 2 years ago at the Quicken. And 2018, where Damon flat out said he cheated. He took an illegal drop in a location and where a ball crossing the hazard line. And I mean, they held up play for like 25 minutes. And they ended up getting paired together. It was the first time they ended up getting paired together off of number 10 today. I'm sure that was a fun group.
I'm sure that the caddies talked more than the two players did combined. That's for sure. I don't think, I obviously don't think they're probably the greatest of friends on tour, but you know, it is what it is. Everyone's in a different stance. I mean, if you ask Sung Kang, I bet he would say that it's a completely different story in that circumstance. And Joel obviously has his, but yeah, I mean, it was a little weird. I would not want to be on that.
Well, CT Pan was the third in that group. And the joke was, were they going to issue him a whistle and a referee jersey?
He may need one. I mean, that's a good idea. I don't know if he would have ended up needing it, but probably a good idea to at least start with that. So you know, it is what it is, but.
And anybody keeping score, Joel Damon ended up finishing plus one, beat Kang by one. So I guess he won the battle of the scoreboard.
There you go. There we go. But
so again, let's talk about the real story is Daniel Berger.
Yeah. Would you like to start or would you like me?
Go for it. No, go for it.
Quite frankly, wow is the only way I can say it. 7 under at Pebble. Not a bad final round. I mean, he knocks it tight. He looks really solid. I'm super happy for this guy. I think if you're going to ask me, this is the type of guy that I hope gets hot because I would love to see him on, you know, Ryder Cups and President's Cup teams. But, it goes back to the argument, like, you know, is the weak field an issue? I don't think it is. I think any tournament you win, if there's a full field, then it's suited up, then so be it. But, you know, everyone's obviously going to have a difference of opinion. That's my opinion. I'm sticking to it. And I think the man played absolutely remarkable.
Guy shot 18 under on Pebble. And, in honor of Christian, I'll throw some stats at you. I mean, for the week, he was 77% of his greens and 71% of his fairways. I mean, that's how you get it done.
He shot 18 under, and he shot even par in the third round. I mean,
that's
put that in perspective. So, you know, you're what's an average? You average over the other three rounds 6 under par. I mean, not too shabby if you ask me.
Four eagles for the week. Four eagles for the week. And, I mean, I think that moves him to number 10 now in the world ranking, or not the world rankings, on the FedEx.
There we go. Okay, so he is in the top 10. Do you know, did it – obviously they're keeping points. I don't know if you have it pulled up in front of you. Did it change anything from a President's Cup or
– I do not have that in front of me. Obviously, I'm sure we'll revisit the conversation.
Okay. All right. Well – again, I don't think there's anything to take away from this man. I mean, you shoot 18 under at Pebble and you get a victory at Pebble. It's a victory at Pebble. There were still some big names there that you still had to beat. And on the Thursday show, this is one of my more favorite weeks every year just because of the Pro-Am. Obviously, we didn't get a chance to have that. But, it's always a great week to watch golf if you're a fan of Pebble Beach like I am, and you know, it's all you got to say about that.
And I'll tell you what was impressive is the way he closed it out. I mean, stripes it down the middle on 18, knocks it on the green. I think it was with a 3 iron, and I mean, you knew at that point he's in a tie at that point. You know, he's gonna 99% chance cozy it up there and tap it in to win, make the birdie, finish 17 under, break the tie, and just flat out jarred it.
It's a way to throw an exclamation point, that's for sure.
Yeah, without question. So congratulations, Daniel Berger. Great effort this week. Great golf course. You know where else is a great golf course, Andrew?
Where is that?
That would be Mainland Golf Course right here in Metro Philadelphia. It's where I like to sneak away to occasionally when the snow is not on the ground. We're going to take a step
right under a foot.
Yeah. We're going to take a step away for a word from them. We come back. I think it's time to putt on 18.
All righty.
Conveniently located in Harleysville, just off the Lansdale exit of the Northeast Extension, the player-friendly Mainland Golf Course offers excellent playing conditions at affordable rates. It is a perfect host site for your next corporate outing. And after each round, the golf experience at Mainland Golf Course can be enhanced by visiting the Mainland Grill, serving lunch and dinner daily. For more information, go to mainlandgolf.com. And don't forget their sister courses, Bella Vista Golf Course in Gilbertsville and Morgan Hill in Easton.
And we are back. So, Andrew,
yes.
Our time went quickly. I'm holding the flag stick. Christian's not here. Got any final thoughts for the day?
My final thought is I have not three-putted on 18, which is all good facts and fun facts because of our good friends over at Perfect Practice. Obviously, we got to, you know, We got to do the show a man down, but that's never a bad thing. I think we had a pretty good laugh, especially given some of the funny news stories that came out this week. Looking forward to the Look Ahead show on Thursday. We do, obviously, as if you've already been following us, we release every Monday and Thursday. Make sure to give us a follow on social media to stay up to date on all new and exciting things we have in the works. But other than that, you know, I'm just happy that we are getting one step closer to unburying ourselves from the snow and being able to finally put the peg in the ground and having some good fun on the golf course.
And I'm glad that we were able to get it around with just playing as a twosome today. Played a little quicker, that's for sure. But I guess that means that Christian holds us up. What do you think?
I mean, obviously he's got to figure out the pace of play issues, because you know we get slowed down clearly from it, because we got through this pretty easily.
I mean, clearly. Well, we miss our boy. Well, who else am I gonna say? Folks, follow us on social media, Golf Talk Live on Instagram, Facebook, Golf Talk_Live on Twitter. Andrew, you gotta finish this off today. Folks, hit it long and straight, because
it beats short and crooked.